This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. As-salatu was-salam ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal-mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een amma ba'd. Ayol ikhwatul kiram, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Praise be to Allah, we praise Him, we seek His forgiveness, guidance and mercy. We send peace and prayers on His final message, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We begin by asking Allah, نسأل الله تعالى أن يغفر لنا ذنوبنا ويكفر عنا سيئاتنا. نسأله بعلم نافع ورزق واسع. وعليه نتوكل وإليه المصير. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. We ask Allah سبحانه وتعالى to forgive our sins and to have mercy upon us. We ask Allah سبحانه وتعالى for useful knowledge, understanding, and for wide sustenance. We depend utterly on Him. Glory be to Him, and to Him is our return, and there is no power of might except that of Allah. From our last session in Fiqh al-Sirah, we said that in this session I was going to, last time we were talking about society, interaction in society, because we were looking in the context of the Sahifa, or sometimes known as the constitution drawn up in Medina. On that basis, the Prophet ﷺ after the Hijrah, that's where we are in the Seerah. Being Fiqh al-Seerah, it opens up avenues for us to discuss various issues. One of them was relationship in society, and then relating the lessons we learn from Medinan society and from Quran and Sunnah to our situation. And I covered many aspects of that in the last couple of sessions. Now we come to a topic which is greatly misunderstood. It's greatly misunderstood by Muslims, I believe, before it became misunderstood by non-Muslims. And that is the topic of jihad. The topic of jihad became so misunderstood by Orientalists and Western nations that if you look for the, in fact it's in the dictionary, Oxford Dictionary, the word jihad, and if you look the meaning of it, you'll find it says, what's that say, holy war. And for those of you who've been studying Islam for years, you'll know that this has been the case for, as far as I remember, and as far as I remember, it's not changed. So jihad, the meaning is holy war, and that is not from them actually, because many of our own interpreters and our imma have given that view and have written books under the word jihad and talk just about fighting. And this is an important topic that we need to clarify. Why? Because we're coming to a situation in Syria where we're going to have a battle situation. So there's various angles we have to clarify it from. And the angle of course, what is jihad in essence? Does it have anything to do with fighting? Does it have nothing to do with fighting? Or does it have something to do with fighting, perhaps? And even in regards to warfare, we need to also look at the issue of, and this is a long debated issue amongst ulama from past, and to the near past and the present. And I'm sure the debate will continue. As to, in Islam, when we talk about warfare, now we're not talking about jihad, I'm talking about qital, fighting. Some ulama said there is defensive warfare, others, and there is also offensive warfare. And that's quite a popular opinion, by the way. But others said, no, there is in Islam the only fighting that we get from Quran and authentic narrations from Rasulullah. You'll see that fighting is always defensive warfare in Islam. Islam doesn't initiate conquering and taking the offensive, right? That's very important to understand this difference. So I will look at that as well. But let's start with the issue of jihad first. And what is the meaning of jihad? And why do we get this meaning, etc., etc.? And certain ideas that people put forward based on various things. Jihad itself, if we want to look at the meaning of jihad, we have to go to the Quran. We have to go to the Quran and the Sunnah, authentic Sunnah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ جَاهَدَ فَإِنَّمَا يُجَاهِدُ لِنَفْسِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Whoever does jihad, then they do the jihad for their own benefit. فَإِنَّمَا يُجَاهِدُ لِنَفْسِهِ. Surely Allah is above all need from His creation. Allah doesn't need anything from His creation. This ayah is Surah 29, verse 6. Also, in Surah Al-Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِ. وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ. And do jihad in Allah, in the way of Allah. فِي اللَّهِ means فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. حَقَّ جِهَادِ. As is your duty to do jihad. فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِ. Who وَجَتَبَاكُمْ وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. He has chosen you, وَجَتَبَاكُمْ, and He has not put any burden on you, فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ, in this deen, in the deen. وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. مِلَّةَ أَبِيكُمْ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. That also gives a clue. The religion of your forefather Abraham. After talking about jihad, وَجَاهِدُ فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِ. مِلَّةَ أَبِيكُمْ إِبْرَاهِيمُ هُوَ سَمَّاكُمُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. It is he Allah, who called you Muslim, those who submitted, the ones who submit before. وَفِي هَذَا, and in this, meaning in this Sharia or in this Quran as well. لِيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ شَهِيدًا عَلَيْكُمْ وَتَكُونُ شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. So that the messengers may be a witness upon you as you may be a witness upon others. وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةِ وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِاللَّهِ. That also, this is all an explanation of وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِ. This ayah is interesting because this is in Surah Al-Hajj. There's various opinions about Surah Al-Hajj, but the most strongest and popular opinion, also based on authentic report from Abdullah ibn Abbas, a majority opinion, is that Surah Al-Hajj is a Makki surah. Is a Makki surah. That's important. Why? Because there was no fighting in Mecca. No order for fighting was given in Mecca. Warfare started in Medina. Yes? So this is a Makki surah. It does have some ayat, three or four of them, which are Madani, and you have surahs like that. Yeah? Especially Makki surah, there's a handful of surah. You call them Makki because most of it is Makki, and it has odd ayat which came in Medina. So Surah Al-Hajj has that as well. For example, one of the ayat, which is an exception to being called Makki in Surah Al-Hajj, is the ayah, أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا. Permission has been given to those who have been fought. يُقَاتَلُونَ, those who have been fought. What's the permission being given to them to do? To fight back. يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا, because they have been wronged. Wronged here means they've been abused. They've been fought. بِأَنَّهُمْ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى نَصْرِهِ لَقَدِيرٌ. This ayah is a Madani ayah. Abdullah ibn Abbas, an authentic report, says, This was the first ayah after the hijrah of Rasulullah ﷺ, which gave permission to fight back. This is in Surah Al-Hajj, even though Surah Al-Hajj is a Makki surah. You follow me? This is a Madni ayah. However, the other ayah I mentioned to you, وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهُ وَاجْتَبَاكُمْ, at the end of Surah Al-Hajj. Notice it says, مِلَّةَ أَبِيكُمْ إِبْرَاهِيمُ, like the religion of your father Abraham. He never went to any warfare. So when he's talking about jihad there, he's not talking about fighting. Yeah, he's not talking about fighting. Using the word jihad there, but it's Makki, so it cannot mean fighting. So when Allah says as an order, وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ, then do jihad in the way of Allah as you ought to do jihad. حَقَّ جِهَادِ. What does it mean? Can't be fighting. Can't be fighting. And it's telling you what it means. وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَىٰ وَآتُوا الزَّكَىٰ. Struggle and establish salah. Pay the zakah. Yeah? And here, zakah, if it's in Mecca, can be given sadaqah to purify your wealth, as it were. وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ, hold fast onto the rope of Allah. Because it was a struggle to hold fast onto the rope of Allah in Mecca, wasn't it? As we've been through the seerah in Mecca, what it was like. Yeah. And the other ayah which I mentioned to you, وَمَنْ يَجَاهَدَ فَإِنَّمَا يُجَاهِدُ لِنَفْسِ, whoever does jihad, they do jihad for their own good. This is also a Makki ayah. So it didn't mean fighting. وَإِنَّمَا يُجَاهِدُ لِنَفْسِ, whoever struggles, then they struggle and strive in the way of Allah for their own good. That's what it means. فَإِنَّمَا يُجَاهِدُ لِنَفْسِ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Those جَاهَدُوا فِينَا, who do jihad, fi, meaning فِينَا is for Allah. Allah is talking about Himself. لِيَعْنِي فِي سَبِيلِنَا, in our way. We will guide them, لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبْلَنَا, to our ways. So those who struggle towards us, we will guide them. Yeah. No, where's the fighting here? There's no fighting there. Those who fight, well, it's Makki ayah again. Yeah. In Mecca, it was very clear. Otherwise, you have a contradiction, because Allah SWT said in the Quran, كُفُّوا أَيْدِيَكُمْ وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَةِ, to the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba. Hold down your hands when they were being persecuted, injured, tortured and killed. Yeah? Kuffu aydiyakum wa aqimu salah. Hold down your hands but establish salah. And all these are coming, these ayat, still at that time. So if jihad meant fighting, it's impossible. It's impossible. Everybody's agreed there's no fighting. No order for fighting for Muslims in Mecca. No order for fighting. So all these ayat are Makki. And they're saying, they're mentioning the word jihad, it means to struggle, which is the prime meaning of jihad. It is to struggle. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions also in Surah Al-Furqan, verse 52, Surah 25, verse 52, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا تُطِعِ الْكَافِرِينَ وَجَاهِدُهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. And do not obey the disbelievers, al-kafirin, those who the rejectors. Don't follow them, don't obey them. Meaning in deen. Don't follow their ways. فَلَا تُطِعِ الْكَافِرِينَ وَجَاهِدُهُمْ بِهِ, and do jihad against them with it. With what? Bihi jihad and kabira, a major jihad, big jihad. So if that means fighting, how are they going to fight with the Quran? Like use it like a sword or something? There was no mushaf anyway. It was mostly recitation and there was some writings on parchment. Wajahidhum bihi do jihad, it means with the tongue, with the argumentation, with the Quran. It was Quran that affected so many Sahaba or Mushrik, wasn't it? That mesmerized and melted their hearts, because the ones who had the Quran from the Rasulullah to other leading Sahaba, they were doing jihad with the Quran in da'wah. Makki ayah again. So many evidences we have. Makki ayat, where jihad is being ordered, so it cannot mean fighting. It cannot mean fighting. However, it's important to understand that when we talk about struggle, struggle comes in various ways, doesn't it? Struggle isn't only, when you talk about the word struggle in English, that you struggle to achieve something, we use various means. Okay? Yeah, whether it's your tongue, whether it's your mind, your abilities, yeah, your heart, all that striving, and your hands. And in hands, it can include fighting as well. It can include fighting. So, fighting or qital can be under jihad. But it is not the only meaning of jihad. Jihad doesn't equal holy war. So qital is there as an under the title of jihad if it is done for justice in the way of Allah. Not any qital. Yeah? Just because Muslims decide to call it jihad, they're fighting, doesn't make it jihad. Okay? It depends on how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees it. Whether they're following the rules and regulations of the Sharia, of the Quran and Sunnah, in doing that. And that's important to understand. So, under it, yes, it can come. Yeah? But generally, the Quran uses the word qital for fighting. Qital for fighting. And that's important. And if you look at jihad itself, then we mentioned the Quran saying jihad and kabira. It's big jihad, major jihad. And if you look at a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for example, to show you that the heavy emphasis on the word jihad is more towards non-fighting rather than fighting. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-mujahid," in authentic hadith, "Alladhi jahada fi Allahi azza wa jalla," or "jahada nafsahu." لله عز وجل أو جاهد نفسه في طاعة الله في طاعة الله. That the mujahid is the one who struggles with themselves in the way of Allah. Struggles with themselves. It's very comprehensive meaning, isn't it? Yeah. And then in a version of the same authentic hadith, Prophet says, who strives in the way of Allah, mujahid is the one who strives in the way of Allah in obedience, in being obedient to Allah. Fi ta'atillah. Yeah. So when we strive to be obedient to Allah and doing the things that we are commanded, ordered, or encouraged to do, and staying away from the things where to stay, we're mujahid, according to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yeah. So it gives a wide meaning. And then Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the authentic hadith, is saying, Afdalul jihad. The most virtuous of jihad is what?
Against his nafs.
No, that's a separate issue. In this hadith, Afdalul jihad kalimatul haqq in the sultani jair. The most virtuous of jihad is to speak a word of truth in front of a tyrant ruler. And in one version, because fear of the tyrant ruler is going to kill the person. But you stand and speak what is just and truth. That's not fighting, is it? That's to lay your life on the line, but you're not fighting with a sword. It is to speak. So most virtuous of jihad, the Prophet ﷺ is saying, is kalimatul haqq in the sultani jair. So it's important to remember these kind of evidences to show us that the meaning of jihad. And we'll come back to that issue that you mentioned about jihad and nafs. Now, many people actually, when we were involved in Dawah in the 80s, we used to hear, this is one of the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said, that the al-jihad al-akbar is jihad al-nafs. That the biggest jihad is jihad on oneself. And actually, this is not a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. It is not authenticated to the Prophet ﷺ. However, we can take something from it, because it is authenticated to somebody who was a tabi'i, a trustworthy, good tabi'i, according to ulama, in the old books. And it is a report from this tabi'i called Ibrahim ibn Abi Abla al-Shami, Abu Ishaq, his kunya. Ibrahim ibn Abi Abla al-Shami was a righteous and pious tabi'i in Sham, of course, the Syria area. And this is reported in Ibn Asakir's Tariq al-Dimashq. It's an old ancient book written by Ibn Asakir. In it is a report with a chain which is authentic to the tabi'i. So it is a qawl of tabi'i. But it's a good statement. Okay? And it has a good understanding from him. Because the report says that when a battalion of fighters came back from war, back to Sham, they met Ibrahim Ibn Abi Abla. He said to them, he said, "You've come back, min al-jihad al-aslar, raja'tum, قَدْ رَجَعْتُمْ مِنَ الْجِهَادِ الْأَصْغَرِ فَمَا فَعَلْتُمْ فِي الْجِهَادِ الْأَكْبَرِ قَالُوا يَا أَبَا إِسْحَاقِ مَا الْجِهَادُ الْأَكْبَرِ قَالْ جِهَادُ الْقَلْبِ." So he said to them, "You've come back from the lesser jihad, the smaller jihad. They've just been fighting, laying their lives on the line." And he said, "Now, I wonder what you're going to do in the major jihad, the bigger jihad." They said, "Oh, Abu Ishaq, what's the bigger jihad?" They were thinking, "Well, what bigger is what than what you've done?" He said, "Jihad of the heart." Jihad meaning of the nafs. Yeah, so this is authentic to him and has a very good meaning. And we'll come back to that later with what Ibn al-Qayyim said in regards to jihad. Now, when we look at the issue of jihad, and we have to look at the issue of qital as well. And as I said, qital can be under the category of jihad, as long as it's according to the Quran and Sunnah and for justice. I mentioned to you some lessons back, those who went for the ayatul saif, the ayah of the sword in Surah At-Tawbah. Yeah, and because of that, they abrogated so much of the Quran. Abrogated, meaning they said it's defunct. Because they reduced the relationship with disbelievers and Ahlul Kitab and Jews to killing them. فَقْتُلُوهُمْ حَيْثُ ثَقِفْتُمُوهُمْ. Kill them wherever you find them. And I told you, this is totally aberrant and totally batil, this meaning. Yeah, at that time. Now, in similar line, they use various other evidences to try and show that, some of them to try and show that Islam came with offensive jihad or offensive fighting or warfare. Yeah. For example, they use one hadith which is authentic to the Prophet ﷺ, where he said, "Umirtu an uqatil an-nasa hatta yashhadu la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. فَإِذَا فَعَلُوهُ ذَلِكَ عَصَمُوا مِنِّي دِمَاءَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ وَحِسَابُهُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى." In this authentic hadith, and if you'll see this hadith, as we saw in the 80s and 90s, and those who were peddling this hadith, and another one I'm going to mention in a minute, they were the ones who were particularly jihadi mentality, and I use the word jihad in a loose idea, because when they said they were jihadis, And jihadi groups, they meant they were the harsh and fighting groups. Not the meaning of jihad that what I've just given you. They had only one meaning of jihad. Yeah. So those kind of groups and people who were that way inclined used to throw these kind of things at us in da'wah. This hadith, and in their translation, if you look at in books as well, this hadith is also incorrectly, often incorrectly translated. The Prophet ﷺ said, I have been ordered to kill human beings unless they say the Shahada. That fits with those who went for the ayat saved, didn't they? With non-Muslim, it's either the sword for killing or you have to say the Shahada. So you can't use like Rahafiddin, no compulsion of religion. So they use this hadith in a similar way. That I've been ordered. No, that's what I've been sent for. I've been ordered to kill, until and unless they say, La ilaha illa Muhammadur Rasulullah, the Shahada. And if they do that, La ilaha illa anna Muhammadur Rasulullah wa yuqimu salah wa yu'tu zakah. And they establish the salah and they pay the zakah. Yeah, if they do that, then their blood and their property is safe from me. Right. So they also use the arguments, if they don't do that, their blood and property is not safe from me. Yeah, I'm going to go and attack and kill them. Except that which is left to take account of from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the complete hadith, as it were. This hadith, although it's authentic, but you take it out of its context. You take it out of its context. You can't take one hadith on its own to understand an issue. So even when you look at the Quran in Surah Tawbah, which we deliberated on some weeks ago, where it mentions about killing, even there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave option, aside from fighting, of giving people the opportunity to come to a peace agreement and pay jizya, or to come to a truce and ask for safe passage in Surah Tawbah. For those who didn't want to believe, but they want safe passage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, give them safe passage. This hadith doesn't give you any of those options. It says, Shahada or be killed. Yeah? But you can't take it therefore like that. You have to take this hadith in its context with the Quran first, which is clarifying for you a context behind the fighting and the killing, which is people who are at war with you. So you can't take it out of its place. Yeah. So people are at war with you. And then came also the hadith of Buraidah, which is a famous hadith in Sahih Muslim, which brought this hadith and the Quranic ayat together in a context that we need to understand. What we need to understand, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran clearly, this also is a rebuttal for those who say there's offensive warfare or offensive war in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَقَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا. And fight in the way of Allah those who fight you. And do not transgress. And do not transgress. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ. Surely Allah does not love those who transgress. That transgression can mean in the way of fighting and also fighting those who don't fight you. Because the beginning of the ayah says, fight those who fight you. Yeah? Then says, وَقَتُلُوهُمْ حَيْثُ ثَقِفْتُمُوهُمْ. So wherever you find that in the Quran, you have to put it in this context. And kill them wherever you find them. In warfare. Means on the battlefield. Yeah? Not walking down the street. Yeah? For those who are not fighting. So it's in warfare. وَقُتُلُوهُمْ حَيْثُ ثَقِفْتُمُوهُمْ وَأَخْرِجُوهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَخْرَجُوكُمْ. And throw them out from where they threw you out. وَالْفِتْنَةُ أَشَدُّ مِنَ الْقَتْلِ. And fitna meaning tribulation and tyranny and oppression is worse than killing in this situation. And it carries on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنْ إِنْتَهَوْا. And if they stop, meaning if they stop attacking and fighting you, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Yeah? surely Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. Does that mean carry on killing them? When Allah says Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful, yeah, it means stop fighting them. وَقَاتِلُوهُمْ حَتَّى لَا تَكُونَ فِتْنَةً. Fight them until that tyranny from them is stopped. Yeah? وَيَكُونَ الدِّينُ لِلَّهِ فَإِنِ انْتَهُوا فَلَا عُدْوَانَ إِلَّا عَلَى الظَّالِمِينَ. And if they stop and refrain from fighting you, then there's no enmity, in other words. And similar ayat came, I haven't got time to go through all of them, but this is one of the best ayat to show you about fighting, and there is no other ayat from the Quran or authentic hadith which gives the idea of you initiating the fighting. Fighting is disliked. Yeah? Fighting is disliked in Islam. It is a last resort. It is a last resort. When your own life, property and blood and the citizen are in danger. Yeah? Even then, there are options given. Or making treaties. Making a peace treaty to avoid the fighting. And you'll see the Prophet ﷺ as we go through Medina, how he tries to do that in different places. To make peace treaties, to avoid a fight, to avoid bloodshed. And this is the way of Rasulullah ﷺ. And you would expect that because it fits with Rahmatul Lil Alameen, doesn't it? Yeah. That's the way of Rasulullah, that's the way of Islam. Yeah. It didn't come with the idea of initiating fighting. Buraidah's hadith in Sahih Muslim is interesting because here it mentions the Prophet ﷺ, it's a long hadith and I'll give you an overview of it. But the Prophet ﷺ used to, when he used to send out a battalion, small battalion, and of course he's sending them out in warfare, in battle. He's sending them out under this heading of those who are fighting you, so now he's sending out a battalion. He's not sitting at home in Medina and nobody's fighting him and he's sending out war parties everywhere. Is he? Is that the meaning we get? It be against the Quran. It be against his way of life. Some people from the Muslims gave this idea to the Orientalists and non-Muslims that the Prophet ﷺ, he was told not to fight, and he didn't fight with those who even don't believe in the Prophet. He didn't fight because they were weak in Mecca. But as soon as they got to Medina and they got a bit of large number and strength and a government, they were out killing and looting, and because they got the upper hand. Now they're strong enough. Yeah. So the jihadists, inverted commas, took this mentality. We're no longer in Mecca. After the Hijrah, we're in the phase of Medina. In Medina, we've been told to kill, kill, kill. Until they say, La ilaha illa Muhammad Rasulullah. That's why they divide it like that. They have this division between Hijrah. Yeah. So the Orientalists and non-Muslims then got the idea, these Muslims living in our lands and countries, they're only quiet because they don't have enough power. If they're given a little bit of power, you know what they're going to do. Where'd they get that idea from? They got it from us. We gave them this idea. Read some of our books. From Prasad, you'll see we gave them this idea. So when they think about, what they call a fifth column, this is where they got this idea from. They didn't make it up, we gave them this idea. And then you add that to the issues of what I mentioned before, imams going around saying, oh, we don't trust non-Muslims. So how are they going to trust you? And they know that they're saying this. We don't trust them. Yeah. So we have that kind of... you know, hiding in the shades here and there. We don't. Then no wonder they think what they're up to. But Islam's not like that. Nothing like that. Far away from this idea. So the reality is that the Prophet ﷺ was sending out, when he sent out those who declared war on him, when he sent out a battalion, nevertheless, then he said to them, yeah, that. The leader, he said, have taqwa in Allah when you go out there. Because that's what's going to control how you behave, even on the battlefield. And be good to the Muslim, the army. Don't treat them like dogs to get respect because you're a general or a captain. Yeah? And begin with the name of Allah. Begin with the name of Allah. And in this these kind of hadith, he mentions all this about not chopping down trees, not killing the non-combatants, not causing harm here, not attacking from the back, yeah, not abusing this, not mutilating afterward. All these beautiful things in warfare, yeah, when people want to ransack and kill and butcher, yeah, no. Even killing in that kill, that in the method which causes the least bit of torture and pain as a final necessity, as it were. And even at that time, he says, give them a choice. They've declared the war and you turn up. You don't just attack and fight. You still give them a choice to make a peace treaty, to come to Islam. They have a choice as well. They'll suddenly become brothers in Islam. Yeah? They suddenly become brothers in Islam and the war's off. They don't have to. They can make a peace treaty, or they can remain in even in their lands and agree to now, because they've declared the war, to pay jizya. To pay jizya, which like a tax, because they can't come under the authority of the Muslim state, because they're going to be also defended against attacks from others. They're like citizens. Yeah? So that is an alternative. But if they persist, they don't want any of these options. They don't want to make a truce. They want to fight you and kill you. Of course, you have no choice as a last resort then to carry on fighting. With all the other options, the Prophet said, then hold back from fighting. Hold back from fighting if they accept this. Hold back from fighting. Don't fight. You see how he's trying at every juncture to avoid the bloodshed. So you take that hadith. You have to put that under that hadith and the Quran. You can't just take that out of context. When he's saying, I've been ordered to fight, you've got to take it another way. Until they declare, I've been ordered. Here, by the way, uqatil al-nas doesn't mean to kill. It means to fight. And qatala yuqatilu, the verb in Arabic, has a meaning of somebody fighting you and you fighting them. So the best way to translate qatala is, I have been ordered to fight back. You understand? Fight back those who fight you, which fits with the Quran. Which fits with the Quran. Well, the verse I mentioned to you before. Yeah. وَقَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ. Fight those in the way of Allah who are fighting you. Yeah. So قَاتَلَ, the word inherent in the meaning is to fight back with somebody who's fighting you. It's a two-way process, not one way. And that's in warfare. The way to understand this hadith is with the hadith of Buraydah, that you may have hatred for people. They may have done all sorts to you in the past. Yeah, the way we understand it, but when they declare shahada, even they're in the middle of a battle, can't fight them anymore. Hatta yashhadu la ilaha illallah. So that's it. Yeah, that's it. Fit that with the hadith of the famous hadith, authentic, of Usama ibn Zayd. Zayd ibn al-Haritha. What's the famous instance of Usama ibn Zayd ibn al-Haritha linked with this? He was in battle. Who's Usama ibn Zayd ibn al-Haritha?
His father.
Zayd ibn al-Haritha. It's his son, obviously. Usama ibn Zayd. I told you that.
The
freed slave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Zayd ibn al-Haritha.
Son of Rasulullah. Some of them call it son of Rasulullah.
We shouldn't say that, because that was changed. Yeah. Islam changed that. But we don't say that. But he brought up like a grandson to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Did he play mushrik who said la ilaha?
Absolutely. He was fighting in battle, yes. And the person he was fighting, mushrik, said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illa wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. So he still killed him. He's a young man. Yeah, he was still young. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, remember, on his deathbed made him in charge of the leader of the army. Anyway, in this instance, he came back and Prophet ﷺ found out about it. Prophet ﷺ was very, very angry. Very angry. When he heard. He said, And when Usama was asked, he said, Ya Rasulullah, he only said it to save his life. He said, Usama, did you open up his heart and look inside? What will you say on the day of judgment when Allah asks you? And Usama said, the Prophet kept repeating this until I felt, he describes it as one of the worst days of his, he said, I wish I'd embraced Islam after this incident. He felt so bad, because the Prophet was very angry with him. Yeah? And kept on rhetorically repeating, what will you say on the day of judgment? How are you going to answer? Yeah, this is in the middle. So you see, when you put that together with this hadith, you get a totally different meaning, different angle to it. I've been ordered to fight people until they declare La ilaha illa Muhammad. So when they've done that, then their property and blood is safe. You can't carry on killing them. Yeah? See how it turns completely now, the hadith, the meaning, and not the apparent meaning that you see from it at the beginning. The apparent meaning is the idea of Prophet ﷺ coming around killing and fighting everybody. They combine this hadith with another very famous hadith. Some of you may have heard of it, but we used to have this thrown around in da'wah at us in the 80s. I remember this hadith, and we used to... until you learn about the hadith in later years, but this is still used by these kind of people who think Islam is all about killing, butchering and fighting. This hadith is reported in the Musnad of Ahmad and Abu Dawud. It is a famous hadith in which it is said that the Prophet ﷺ says, "Bu'ithu bis-sayf bayna yaday as-sa'ah wa ju'ilat rizqi tahta dhilli rumhi." وَجُعِلَ الظِّلُّ وَالصِّغَارِ عَلَى مَنْ خَالَفَ أَمْرِي وَمَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. In this hadith, it is said that the Prophet ﷺ said, I have been sent near the hour with the sword in my hand. I have been sent with the sword. Yeah? When the hour is imminent. Now the part of him being sent when the hour is imminent comes in a separate hadith, which is authentic. My coming and the hour are like this, he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anybody know this hadith? My coming, he said, and the hour, what's the hour? The final, when everything's going to finish, day of judgment, is like this, he said. Yeah? That's why they say, ulama, that the coming of Rasulullah, the final messenger, is one of the minor signs of the hour. They don't like using the word minor for him, but it's not one of the big major signs he mentioned in hadith, like the coming of Masih al-Dajjal, the coming of the Messiah, and the sun rising from the west, etc., etc. Those are seen as the major signs. Yeah? So that's authentic. But this is not saying that. They say, I have been sent with the sword when the hour is near. Okay? With the sword. And my sustenance was made for me or given to me under the shade of these spears, like in the battlefield. Yeah, you see how he's being described? Being sent with a sword, and his sustenance is provided under the shadows of the spears. Under the shadows of the spears. And dhilla, humiliation, yeah, and downtroddenness is given to the one who opposes my order. Or opposes what I've brought. وَمَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمِ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. Whoever imitates a people, they are from amongst them. This hadith, despite its two chains, it is not authentic. It is very weak. Some people try to make it hasan, but this hadith is weak. If any part, the last part, which came in a separate chain, مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمِ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. I've talked about this in the khutbah as well. Whoever imitates a people is from amongst them. Yeah, this hadith is also from these chains, and it is also in reality very weak. Some people made it hasan, but some people use its meaning in completely inappropriate application. Reality is this hadith, which seems to indicate and show the Prophet ﷺ as a person battling, coming with a sword, spears under the shield. He's spending all his time in warfare. That's what he came for, to bring war. So this hadith, you can forget it. It is not from the mouth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's very important to remember because people throw this kind of thing around. And this was clarified not by the likes of today. This was clarified centuries ago, even though it was collected by Abi Dawood and in Musnad Ahmad. Yeah, ulama, muhaddithin, around that time and the times to come after made it clear that this is not authentic. Yeah, although some try to make it hasan. So that's in regards to this. So these are the kind of evidences. And some people, and actually I said to you that this is quite a popular opinion, that there is something called offensive jihad in Islam, and it came in the later time in Hijra. In fact, one of the major sources I've been using in this seerah, I told you, was a big research done by Akram al-Umari, who is muhaddith as well. And my teacher, who's one of the leading muhaddith in the world, says he's a muhaddith of good level as well, very good level muhaddith, yeah, who tried to bring the most authentic part of seerah together based on Quran, hadith, and authentic reports, which is what we've been trying to do in this fiqh of seerah, as you know, those who've been coming from the beginning. And his view as well is that there is something called offensive war in Islam. I disagree with him entirely. He has no evidence really, doesn't bring anything from Quran and Sunnah. And like others aside from him, and Sayyid Bhuti, who wrote about